And let's determine what was considered a side hustle or a hobby business. Those are kind of terms that are thrown around a little bit. And then what I would call, in so many words, a real business. Not that a side hustle can't become a real business, because I started my entrepreneurial career as a side hustle business that, when I left IBM in 2007, became my full-time business. So I do understand that concept. But understanding that business, in its practical nature, its fundamental nature, can be started on the side. I've got people who are active military. I've got doctors. I've got lawyers. I've got people who own multiple franchises, who own, you know, 27 rental properties, et cetera, who are kind of starting and deploying capital into the e-commerce business with us to work alongside us in a mentorship capacity in order to spend about 10 to 15 hours a week learning how to create this business while they're still doing what they're doing, to then look at it as a supplement channel, another stream of revenue, a potential passive income, or in some instances, a complete replacement of what they're doing now.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to introduce our guest for the day, Neil Twa. Neil, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Absolutely. Well, very curious and interested to get into the details of what you do. So Neil has a very interesting business model, and I'm just going to kick it off with, Neil, what the heck do you sell?
Yeah, that's the big question. It actually is what everybody defaults to when they say, oh, you're selling e-commerce. I have no idea what to sell. Do I have to pick a product, or do you help me figure out what to pick? Because I have no idea what kind of product I should sell. Don't feel bad, because everybody has that same question. So let me take you through a little mental exercise I do, and you'll probably help too with this. If you've ever bought anything on Amazon, this will be something that you maybe have not aware of. And I'm going to try and change your focus just a little bit into kind of recognizing yourself as a potential buyer of products and an owner of e-commerce versus a consumer, which most people on here are probably consuming from Amazon some shape, way, or form, or they have a daughter or a significant other or a wife or a husband or whatever who buys stuff on Amazon. So if you were to go back into your order history on Amazon and look at the last 90 days of products, what you might look at is, you know, I bought this for this, or this was a gift for somebody else, or I bought that because I needed to clip my fingernails or clip my dog's fingernails or whatever solution it was you were looking for. But what you maybe didn't consider is that of those products, according to Amazon's own stats, over 60% of the products sold on Amazon come from third-party sellers like us. They're not actually sold by Amazon directly. They're sold by people who are small businesses who are making money selling physical branded products. Now, if you look at that list, you may not be able to recognize it, but you can assume the numbers right now of the amount of orders you might have had and how many potentially were sold by somebody else than Amazon, somebody like me. And when you start to look at those products and look at the reasons why you bought them, you start to now realize it's possible that you could sell a product just like that too. And now you maybe never considered selling that product, but you can start looking at it from that perspective. And when you do, you start to define what we call a customer profile or a customer avatar, which is a target of that buyer. And you being the buyer or whomever, of course, at this point, the question then becomes, well, what was the solution that I was trying to solve by getting that? Was I trying to run faster, jump higher, lose weight, gain weight? Was I trying to, you know, age younger? What was I trying to do with that? Was I trying to solve a major problem in my life or an issue? And when I was doing that, would I have taken the smaller, cheaper solution, or was I okay paying a little bit more money knowing that I felt like this product was really going to solve that solution? So let me give you an example to kind of put that into perspective. You wake up one morning, your tooth is hurting terribly. It's hurting so bad, you got pain coming up into your head, your eyeball's all cocked, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in terrible, terrible pain. You call the dentist and he says, great, that's going to take about an hour to fix that. It's going to cost about $300. And you're like, oh my gosh, I can't stand another hour. He's like, what else do you got? He says, okay, you know what? I got this other solution. It's going to take about 10 minutes. It's going to cost $500. And you're like, that's it. Like, give me that solution. I'll pay $500. Get this thing out of my head. Fix this problem. Like, I want this pain gone. When you start to think about that person and the solution-oriented aspect of what they said, someone's willing to pay $500 where someone else is willing to pay $300. And when you look at your products and you go back and you determine, is there somebody or was I that person who was willing to pay that $500 and why was I willing to do that? It's a different level of type of product and brand. And that's where we come in, is helping people identify those particular products that have great profit margins, that are in demand, and that are solution oriented for those type of individuals. Because when they find that our product solved their solution, because it's a high quality product that was meant to solve their solution, then they will buy more products from us. They will come back to our brand. They will be emotionally connected. They'll start buying 2 and 3 other products from us. And that's when business starts to get really interesting. So if you go through that, you get a concept now that a good portion of sellers on Amazon are just like anybody else. They can be just anybody else. They could be 19-year-old high school dropouts. They could be 45-year-old middle-aged men who have golf course degrees and theology degrees who've never sold on e-commerce at all. And there's somebody selling you products in their brand.
Okay, interesting. And so then what you sell is you build those brands for people. Is that right?
Well, we help them and we work with them. So we have a phrase in our company that is keep it small and keep it all. So we do help them understand in a mentorship capacity how to build a business and structure it from the beginning with the end in mind, which is the ability to sell that asset, because it is an asset when built correctly. And then teach them how to identify those products better and be able to go buy what we call buy the numbers, which is ensure they're profitable, that you can obviously sell a unit of it and all your costs, et cetera. Similarity to the real estate world, you're going to make sure that by the time you put renovations in or flip that property, by the time it goes to market and you put it up for sale, all those fees are going to give you a profit at the end of the day. We're looking at it at a product level. You're looking at it at a house level. We're looking at it at an individual product level, because every one of those products turns into a profitable brand. And so we make sure that they run by the numbers and profitably go to market. Then we create a whole portfolio of those products inside of that brand that are all solving solutions for that avatar that we just mentioned a minute ago. And they continue to buy from us.
Okay, cool. So what are some of the brands that you have built for yourself?
Well, I wouldn't give out the names of them just now, but I'll give you some categories.
Sure. Types of products and
stuff. Types of products. So we've sold, I'll tell you, here's probably a better way to answer this, because I've sold for 9 years in this marketplace and we've taught thousands of people how to do this. So it's probably easier to answer what I wouldn't sell, because I've pretty much sold in every other category. We won't sell in electronics. The reason for that is not because there isn't opportunity, but because it creates a really large troublesome back end to manufacturing, logistics, customer support, and costs of innovation, where you have to find a great new product. It has a technology and it usually costs a lot of money to get started. So we don't usually recommend people get started there. I have friends that do very well in that space, but they have a lot of trouble and it's just a lot more work to be done. And I'm a lazy marketer, so I really try to make this relatively simple. We don't sell in clothing on Amazon because the largest demographic of buyers on Amazon is women 27 plus. And so they don't particularly like to try on, and you may be this person, don't like to try on something, find out it doesn't work, and then have to go through the trouble of trying to return it and then wait for the new one. You might like to just go down to the local place, try it on at the dressing room, make sure it works. So you're not alone. And so clothing has a place where there's just not a lot of people buying on Amazon, not as much as other categories, for those kinds of reasons. Also, it's hyper-competitive. If you don't have an existing brand and influencer marketing and a real presence before you go to Amazon, you're going to get kind of lost in the people that are already there selling. So we don't usually go to clothing for those reasons. The last place we don't go is supplements. We don't go in anything literally that's in the mouth. Amazon has a whole compliance department, which makes things difficult to sell. Remember, I said I was a lazy marketer. We don't like to go into there because the FDA then wants to approve that and potentially get in. And then you got things like certifications and GMP certifications at your manufacturing to ensure it's quality and no one's going to get sick. And then you just have a lot of major competition with big pharma companies wanting to kind of dominate that space. And so we don't play in that space because it's very hypersaturated and competitive. So everything else in Amazon, from outdoor gear, kitchen, et cetera, toys, kids, it's all open and it's free game. And we've played in every one of those markets successfully.
For sure. Well, it sounds like you are one of the people who's been doing this like quite a long time. What was it that drew you into the space?
Necessity. Isn't that the mother of all inventions? Literally, I had a friend suggest to me, we connected because he had said, hey, I sold something on Amazon one day on a Facebook post, literally a long time ago. And I hit him up and I said, hey, if it's anything like eBay, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And he's like, no, it's not like that at all. Let me explain. It's this thing called Fulfilled by Amazon, and it's called FBA. I said, what does that mean? He said, it means Amazon helps you with the customer support. They help you with the warehousing, and they help ship the customer's product all the way to them, what's called the last mile. I said, well, that's kind of interesting. I got into that conversation with him because I had gotten previously into doing affiliate marketing and had learned how to do a lot of lead-driven activities online. I was specifically running mobile traffic to mobile phones and getting people to install dating apps and other applications on their mobile phones. And I was getting paid on a cost per lead basis, what's called CPL. And so because of that, I got really good at traffic, and I'd really gotten a lot of companies to have success from my lead generation activities. And a number of those companies were actually e-commerce brands who were selling physical products. And I thought to myself, well, maybe I should start a brand. Maybe I should start doing that. Ran into some trouble in total transparency in a business that I had used the profits from my mobile advertising, which had done very successful, to get involved in a company that was a startup tech. And in the process of the startup tech, I did not pay enough attention to all the complexities of that business model myself and got myself a little too leveraged into that, unfortunately. Call it a life learning experience. And because of that, the lawyer said, hey, you know what? You need to indemnify yourself and declare bankruptcy because of these other things you weren't aware of. And when they brought that to my attention, I'm like, oh, crap. So that was a strategic business move. And so after that, I had to kind of reinvent what I was doing and had to shut down the other components of my business. So that's when I said, okay, where do I reinvent this? And do I get back into the mobile? That's when the question became, well, Amazon is here. Take a look at it. And then I realized it was just a traffic source. It was people buying things all in 30 seconds or less. And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. And this was back in 2011. And I said, wow, there's something here. I could see there was something here. And so out of that necessity to reinvent myself and go a different direction, I took the experience in the online marketing and my knowledge of customer and traffic and stuff, and I went into Amazon, where it was, in essence, a traffic source of people buying products. And I thought, whoa, okay, it's a free traffic source. Let me figure out what I can do with this.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's got the mother of necessity is invention, right? So I got in there and just started to test this. And come to find out, yeah, people want to buy stuff on Amazon. They want to buy a lot of stuff on Amazon. And back then, there was a little bit of Wild West. Now it's a little more structured. You definitely have to be running in a brand. There are things like arbitrage. You've ever heard of that? Retail arbitrage, online wholesaling, and this kind of stuff that people test in the Amazon. We don't do that at all. We started out testing that way a decade ago and quickly understood brand building creates affinity, creates a great business that has intellectual property. And of course, that's an asset and you can exit it and you can sell those for great multiples. Once we kind of caught on to that, we started into the brand building phase.
Okay. Now you build brands and then you'll also sell them, exit out of them.
We acquire and exit them. We have a group called Portfolios. My partner, Kevin Harrington, in that helps us to go out into the market and either distribute out into the retail world brands that have started on Amazon and have been proven on Amazon. We can then take them into mass marketing and wholesale, or we can exit to our portfolio group where those individuals, accredited buyers, investors, hedge funds, home offices, et cetera, are looking to buy those companies because my company is managing them. And in the purchase of that, they can literally make it passive for them because they know we are already in control and in a management of that company, whether it was ours or our clients who are running within our managed services division. And they say, hey, great, we'll buy that. And then you guys keep managing it. And they turn it into a passive. So we'll build them from zero and then we get them out to launch and we exit them.
Okay. Interesting. Cool. Well, you know, we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are maybe just getting started with trying to figure out how to kind of shore up their financial game. And, you know, one of the things that we recommend is that people start a side hustle. And while there's definitely real estate side hustles to be started, you know, e-commerce is clearly one of the side hustles that can be most effective in terms of like scalable and you can create a large nest egg pretty quickly. So what do you help people start side hustles while they're working full time? And what kinds of advice would you give to people?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor,
and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, and let's determine what was considered a side hustle or a hobby business. Those are kind of terms that are thrown around a little bit. And then what I would call, in so many words, a real business. Not that a side hustle can't become a real business, because I started my entrepreneurial career as a side hustle business that, when I left IBM in 2007, became my full-time business. So I do understand that concept. But understanding that business, in its practical nature, its fundamental nature, can be started on the side. I've got people who are active military. I've got doctors. I've got lawyers. I've got people who own multiple franchises, who own, you know, 27 rental properties, et cetera, who are kind of starting and deploying capital into the e-commerce business with us to work alongside us in a mentorship capacity in order to spend about 10 to 15 hours a week learning how to create this business while they're still doing what they're doing, to then look at it as a supplement channel, another stream of revenue, a potential passive income, or in some instances, a complete replacement of what they're doing now, or giving them that opportunity. So we work with them. We work in a mentorship. We work in what I call a pay-as-you-profit or skin in the game model. So when they work with us, they do pay, obviously, for a mentoring component, but we have a performance component. We're very good at what we do. And we are hedgehogs, as Jim Collins says in the book, Good to Great. And because of that, we're able to put in a performance component to our fees. So we get paid some up front, but then we don't get paid again until, working with us, your business performs to a certain level. When it reaches a certain level of performance, then we get the rest of our mentoring fees. So we are confident that when we work with the right people, and we operate in a franchise kind of like model where we don't take ownership and we don't take a percentage of your profits, keep it small, keep it all, then that creates a great business opportunity for people to learn what we're doing, stay at the CEO, stay at the opportunity to create that almost automated income, and then work with us to help you grow that business using and leveraging all of my infrastructure that's been built for 9+ years to accelerate your results into a position that in 18 months or less, you can exit that business. Money is worth more now than it's worth more later. We know that as economics 101, right? So the sooner you exit that business and return that 2 to 3 years worth of profits back, the sooner you can do it again. And we call that the platinum principle. And that is that concept that this becomes the business model, like a virtual real estate, if you will, and building up the assets, flipping it, and then doing it again. And then however fast you want to do it, you can deploy that capital and do it again and again and again.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really interesting component to your coaching program, where there is sort of a tiered approach where you pay a bit upfront and then the rest is tied to performance. It's not something that I've really seen before, but it makes a lot of sense. So it's cool to hear that you're doing that. You know, one thing that we like about real estate is the tax benefits that come along with real estate. And it seems to me that those, I'd like to hear you talk about like what the taxes look like with when you're doing an Amazon FBA business, and if you have like employed any strategies to kind of minimize your taxes, and what you would recommend in that regard.
Yep. So a lot of my folks recently gone through a number of exercises in the infinite banking concept. So they have taken capital into infinite banking. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Maybe somebody listening has.
Yeah, but other people might not have. So go ahead.
Right. In its simplest form, it's borrowing basically money and becoming your own bank, and then borrowing from your own capital at a reduced interest or rate, and then putting that capital to work and then repaying basically that infinite banking policy. So I'm going to slander that whole thing terribly and destroy it. People who give me a better description, but in essence, you're borrowing and becoming your own bank. With that concept, you can take capital that you might deploy into an e-commerce business or otherwise virtual real estate, et cetera, and then borrow that money from yourself, repay it at a loan. And then obviously that original amount is still incurring a return on that investment at its original fund. So that's a great way for you to take out money and obviously put it to work while it's still gaining insurance. So that's one of the ways you can do that. Of course, products and inventory have a sellable asset. And so unlike a completely virtual info product type of thing, you're and I am putting capital into an actual inventory. It's worth something. And as long as it's great product and a great inventory, it has an appreciation. If I buy it for a dollar, I can sell it for $5 kind of thing. Where I sell it and how I do that, that does mean I have an asset. So my cash is not necessarily just sitting in the bank. It's sitting in an inventory that I can then sell at a higher rate of return. Of course, there are capital and gains to be made against that. If you operate like a real business and separate personal from business finances, there are, of course, benefits to how you pay yourself in that mechanism to reduce your taxable income. Again, I'm not a tax accountant. And yep, so there's my disclaimer. Get yourself a tax accountant and an accountant. Now, we work with a very strong tax accounting firm who does all of our e-commerce, and all of our clients have an opportunity to work with them because they have spent many years with us setting up charts of accounts and strategies to make taxable income less for the e-commerce space. And we have a number of strategies we deploy at the business building phase in order to ensure taxable accountability is there. And then, of course, at the exit phase of that, as you exit, how to set that cash to a certain degree, reduce the taxable component of that business at exit, and then obviously go back to work and do it again. So there's a number of structures, not getting into like the tactical weeds there, but there are a number of ways to reduce your taxable incomes, both during and at the end of that exit phase.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. Awesome. And you know, the title of the show is Passive Income Unlocked. How passive can this business of Amazon FBA be?
Well, if you set it up as almost automated income, which, I mean, to what degree do one person versus another call passive? If it was 5 hours of work a week to maintain a business that's putting off great profits, is that considered passive? Someone might say yes. Someone might
absolutely
say no.
Well, I mean, there's different levels, but for sure. I mean, everyone's got to start somewhere.
Let's say passive is 5 to 10 hours a week worth of work. Like, that could be considered passive. And it really gets down to, was I digging ditches for 10 hours a week? Or was I checking on my bank account and checking on my investments and monitoring my logistics and inventory? So I would consider that to be awesome passive income versus I'm out digging a ditch. So at that level, it is possible to make it 100% passive. And by that aspect, we have an account management services division where when brands are raised up by us under our mentorship and they reach a certain level of potential ROI to basically support our division taking over the management of that account, our business builders can be made 100% passive. My general managers take over all operations of that business for them and help them continue to scale and continue to grow. They still operate at the CEO level, but maybe we're talking about 1 hour a month worth of update and reporting, but the general manager reports back to them weekly as to what's occurring. And for that most part, they understand the business. They understood the operations. They helped create the company and start to ramp it up. But now they know there's a team that's managing what they started and managing it, and it can be made 100% passive that way.
Okay, interesting. So then you're actually able to purchase those brands back from your students. Is that right?
We can acquire them, absolutely, later on through their portfolios division, absolutely. Or we can send them out to home offices and hedge funds, et cetera, for sale, in which we act as a broker for them. But we have that relationship and management. We know the business. We will circulate the business prior to becoming mature. And we can then obviously negotiate a better price point in the market at time of sale based on our relationships versus them going out into the broker market and trying to fend for themselves. We help ensure best negotiation, best practice, top dollar for those businesses.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, very, very interesting stuff. Thank you so much, Neil, for coming on and just dropping a ton of knowledge about Amazon FBA and how to really make a business out of it. So please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, absolutely. You can Google my last name or just Google me. You'll either find me or airlines, TWA Airlines. There's a lot of social media profiles and stuff that you can check out, my LinkedIn and others, and get to know me a little bit more. Also, you can go to voltagedm.com, VOLTAGEDM.com. Check out what we're doing in the growth consultancy phase. There's a free little video you can sign up for that will give you an overview with myself and Kevin about how we did this business and are doing this business and making it an opportunity for those who are interested in learning more. And I encourage you to do that. When you have a chance to do that, you will talk to me personally. You will have a conversation with me. I only interview so many people and we invite so many to work with us, but we keep it very small. And I do interview everybody personally. And I don't have a sales team or anything like that because I'm just looking for those people who really understand opportunity. And as the saying goes, when the student is ready, the mentor will appear. So and when the time comes in the future, if that makes sense, please connect with me and we'll see where we go from there.
Awesome. All right, Neil. Well, pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. I hope you guys reach out to Neil and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.